Okay.
Ready?
I would be in agreement to that, yeah.
What about Bloomberg?
Your question is
going to executive session. Everything is
recorded. Yeah. Okay. Well, I know you don't want to hear what's going on.
What?
You're not at the meeting, but just to go over so we can be.
Mics are recording.
Huh?
The mic is on.
No, not this one.
Go ahead. Yep.
Hey, folks, we're going to get started. Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to the City of Kingston, September 17, 2018, Planning Board meeting. We will begin the meeting with the Pledge of Allegiance, please.
Thank you.
Okay, our first order of business tonight is we're going to, I'm going to make a motion to reopen the August meeting of the Kingston Planning Board. We're going to be dealing with plan number 1, 300 Flatbush Avenue. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
Second by Jamie Mills. Just the folks who were here last night in a voting capacity, I just need you to vote on that. All in favor, signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye, opposed, carried. So this is 300 Flatbush Avenue, site plan slash special permit to create 66 residential units. Section blocking lot is 48.74-3-14.100. Zone R6, Ward 6. Ruffalo Incorporated is the applicant and owner. For folks that were here last meeting, or for folks that weren't here, we had a denial of a resolution to accept the permit, the application. That was a denial. So tonight we have to vote on a resolution which officially says that the planning board has denied the application. And the only folks that will be voting on this particular document tonight are the folks who were involved in the vote last month. We are missing Robert Jacobson, so that just means only four of us will be voting on this document tonight. So, having said that,
we have the resolution. Mm-hmm. It's not as lengthy as the last one, right?
No.
Okay. All right, so this is a resolution of the City of Kingston Planning Board denying the site plan slash special permit use, special permit for a landmark place, number 300 Flatbush Avenue, section block and lot is 48.74-3-14.100. Whereas Rupco, in parentheses, the applicant, has submitted a complete application to the City of Kingston Planning Board to create 66 residential units, 34 of which proposed to be located in an existing building, and 32 constructed within a new building, and received a zoning change of the 14.9-acre parcel from RR, one-family residence, to R6, multiple residence district, and in parentheses, the action. And whereas the project location, 300 Flatbush Avenue, Kingston, New York, section block and lots 48.74-3-14.100. And whereas the complete set of plans submitted include T01 title sheet, a cover sheet, C01 existing conditions, C102 site layout plan, C103 utility plan, C104 stormwater and grading plan, C105 erosion and sediment control plan, C106 details, C107 details, C108 stormwater details, L100 landscaping plan, L200 light specification, A101 existing floor plans, A102 existing floor plans, A103 existing floor plans, A104 proposed floor plans, A105 proposed floor plans, A106 proposed floor plans, A201 existing elevations, A201.1 existing elevations, A202 existing elevations, A203 existing elevations, A204 existing elevations, A205 almshouse exiting porch elevations, A206 existing sections, B101 boiler house floor plans, B201 boiler house elevations, B202 boiler house elevations, C01 brick cottage existing floor plans, C201 brick cottage existing exterior elevations, C202 brick cottage existing sections, G101 brick garage existing floor plans, G201, brick garage, existing elevations. N101, new building, first and second floor plans. N102, new building, second and third floor plans. N103, new building, fourth floor and roof plan. N201, new building, east and west elevations. N202, new building, north and south elevations and building section. N301, new building, wall section. S101, stone garage, existing floor plans. S201, stone garage, existing elevations. Whereas a public hearing was held on February 28, 2017, and a second public hearing was held on March 19, 2018, with a continued hearing through the April 17, 2018 Planning Board meeting, and written comments accepted until April 30th, 2018. And whereas the board reviewed all plans submitted, supporting documentation, public record and comment, the Common Council resolution to rezone, and Ulster County Planning Board comments. And whereas the Planning Board adopted a negative declaration of environmental significance on May 8th, 2017, and whereas on August 20th, 2018, the board voted 3-2 not to adopt the resolution to approve the plan, the site plans slash special permit. And now therefore be resolved by the City of Kingston Planning Board as follows. Section 1, the board hereby denies the site plan slash special permit for 66 residential units and commercial space in two buildings for reasons stated during a regular meeting of the Kingston Planning Board on September 17, 2018. Included as part of the record. Section 2, that this resolution shall take effect immediately.
You have to take the poll vote and do this for the reason.
I don't make a motion to adopt it, that's right.
No.
Okay.
Question. If you want to accept this, you vote yes. Accept the denial, you vote
a yes vote will signify accepting the denial. Okay. Do I have a motion?
You have to do a poll vote.
Do a motion first, you have to accept this. And then do a poll vote.
No, you have to do the poll vote first.
Do you want our reasons when we say our vote or our motion in a second? Don't you have to do that first?
Do I have a motion to accept this resolution?
Yes.
Okay, motion Jamie Mills, do I have a second? Second by Bridget Smith-Broom. We're going to go to roll call, and I'm going to ask that the members who voted just give a description of why they voted the way they did, if they wanted some. Charles Palacco?
Right, my vote is to deny. I voted as I did because I had concerns that had not been satisfactorily answered about density, zoning, and infrastructure issues of the plan.
Can you say that again?
Want to read that again? I'm sorry.
You have to speak into the mic, please.
I voted as I did because I had concerns that had not been satisfactorily answered about density, zoning, and infrastructure issues of the plan.
Okay. You hear that? Jamie Mills?
My vote is yes, for the following reasons. I believe...
Into the mic. Thank you.
Take this one here.
This one works. My vote is yes for the following reasons. I believe
you're voting yes
for the
negative, the denial.
For the denial, yes.
Just clarify.
I voted no for the seeker review. I believe that there are still significant environmental impacts that this project will have on the neighborhood. For the accessibility of the campus, it is an isolated campus based on our comprehensive plan. We're supposed to promote walkability and bikeability, neither of which this site allows for. The overall building design of the new building, again, the comprehensive plan states that we need to maintain and promote traditional architectural form consistent with existing neighborhoods that the new building design does not agree with that. And finally, for zoning issues, with the suggestion of commercial use on this site.
Brenda Smith, room.
I also vote yes for the denial. During both the public hearing and the written comment, I listened to all the information presented. I took time to look over and study the documentation provided to the board. After all this, I took an analysis of the presented information, and the reason I voted no was because of the zoning and environmental issues with the project.
And Wayne Platt, I vote no on tonight's resolution because I felt that the application as presented complied with the City of Kingston zoning law and also fell within the parameters of what the planning board was allowed to consider. So we have a 3-1 right on this.
Yes.
Okay. And this resolution is adopted.
Let's sign.
At this time, I'll make a motion that we adjourn the August meeting of the Planning Board, August 2018. Do you have a second?
Second.
Second by Jamie Bellows. So all in favor? Opposed? Nothing. Aye. Carried? Okay. All right. Now we begin the September 17th, 2018 Planning Board meeting. Regular business, item number 2, is the open public speaking. We'd like to allocate 15 minutes for this. Doesn't necessarily have to do with anything that's on our agenda. If there's anybody who'd like to come up to the mic at this time, and hello, Mr. Harvey.
Good day.
Let the record show Mr. Owen Harvey is at the microphone.
Thank you, Chairman, Board. So, Owen Harvey at 26 Beale Street. I am here tonight to testify that the Agricultural Center excavation has adversely impacted me. Your decision has led to my home being assessed by the city at $70,000 less than it was last year, distressing the equity value of my home, which has a negative impact on my ability to proactively keep up with the maintenance of my historical home. Your decision has created a safety and welfare hazard next to my home. I have 2 young children, and your decision has negatively impacted their safety and welfare, where the applicant has created a hazard along our property line. Your decision on the Irish Cultural Center has turned Company Hill Path into an ongoing safety hazard that has required the continuous intervention of the Department of Public Works to repair. Your decision has led to the destruction of both private and public property in my neighborhood. Your decision has impacted my ability to raise a family safely on our property and for my children to enjoy the linear park that is Company Hill Path. On July of 2017, the Planning Board determined that the ICCHB application for 32 Beale Street would not have a significant adverse effect on the environment, that a preparation of an environmental impact statement would not be required. As we have all witnessed and now know as fact, the board's determination was flawed and can be characterized as not meeting the criteria of a hard flood. Despite the best efforts of the residents of the community in asking the board to take seriously the potential impacts this project would have on safety and welfare concerns, as well as environmental impacts, their advocacy for a positive declaration was ignored, and now the residents of the Rondo have been tasked to tolerate the environmental hazard your approval has permitted to occur, a hazard that jeopardizes their safety and welfare, which you were tasked to be advocates for, not against. The safety and welfare of residents is now in constant jeopardy due to actions taken by this board to not prioritize responsible and safe development. In your CEQA review, the board claims the proposed actions will not cause significant adverse environmental impacts on the land. Site excavation will be controlled and managed, noting that the majority of excavated material will be moved from the site. During site construction, best management practices for erosion and sedimentation control, as identified by the New York State Standards and Specifications for Erosion and Sediment Control, will be employed to control and minimize the site grading and drainage conditions. Based on the foregoing impacts to the small area of site, steep slopes, and bedrock outcropping are not anticipated to be adversely significant. My note, as we now know, best management practices for erosion and sediment control were not implemented. The failure of the applicant, the ICCHB, to follow these best practices led to the destruction of both private and public property. Company Hill Path was and is repeatedly turned into a safety hazard, even as recently as last week, because of the erosion occurring at the site caused by the applicant's flawed excavation. This board claimed the proposed action will not cause direct adverse environmental impact on water, wetlands, and related resources, plants and animals, or associated habitat areas, nor on agricultural resources. Claimed there are no water bodies, streams, or wetlands on the project site or on immediate adjacent property. No work is proposed in or adjacent to a water body, stream, or wetland. The Rondau Creek is to the southeast of the subject property, separated by Company Hill Path, other municipal sidewalks, street, and public parking, as well as Maurice Kinchy Promenade and docks. My note, as we now know, after the heavy rains last week, runoff from the site did reach the Rondau Creek, again, because of the poor erosion mitigation efforts being implemented by the applicant, the ICCHB, again, creating both an environmental issue and safety issue for the residents of our community. The board claimed the proposed action will not cause adverse environmental noise, odor, or lighting impacts. Potential temporary noise impacts may be apparent during the short-term duration of construction, but some will be minimized to the extent practicable and limited to permissible work hours as authorized by the City of Kingston Building Department and the City Noise Ordinance. My note, during the excavation of the site, the applicant, the ICCHB, repeatedly violated the City Noise Ordinance 300-5-2A, where the operation of equipment used for drilling is not permitted between the hours of 6 p.m. and 8 a.m. on weekdays or at any time on Sundays, weekends, or holidays. When these violations were first reported to the police and building department, they were ignored. It was left to residents to foil the city departments to see if the applicant had permission to begin work before 8 a.m. and work on weekends. When our foil returned a no, it was only then that the applicant was forced to obey the ordinance. The applicant, the ICCHB, knowingly violated this ordinance, creating great stress on the residents of the community. Aside from this noise violation, the applicant also repeatedly parked illegally on a Beale Street during the excavation, parking in front of fire hydrants, as well as blocking residents' driveways with unattended trucks. These actions were reported to the building department, as well as to the police department. The board claimed the proposed action will not cause adverse environmental impacts on historic resources. The site is located within the Rondau West Strand Historic District, a National Register Listed Historic Resource. My note, well, we now know that isn't true, due to the consistent damage done to Company Hill Path. The board claimed the proposed action will not cause adverse environmental impacts on recreation or open space resources. My note, again, Conemigo Path is a public linear park that the project has negatively impacted. The board claimed the proposed action will not cause adverse environmental visual or community character impacts. My note, the board was asked by the community to ask the applicant if they have the necessary funding for this project before granting them approval. The board denied the community this request, and now the visual and community character has been negatively impacted by your decision. So, in reviewing the board's seeker, I think it is clear that the ICCHB application needs to have seeker reopened, and this board needs to declare a positive determination, and that an environmental impact statement needs to be prepared in reviewing this project. The applicant, the ICCHB, has demonstrated through its actions and indifference to the safety and welfare of the community that it is incapable of continuing with this project without the oversight a positive declaration carries with it. The residents of the community deserve this oversight and protection, something this board was unwilling to recognize previously. Before this board is an opportunity to prioritize the safety and welfare of the community alongside responsible development. I ask you to forget about whatever your motivations were in your earlier decision. It is through this opportunity of correction that you can work to rebuild the lost trust your previous determination has caused, which has manifested itself as a giant hole in the RT district. My ask is that now that the applicant has permitted the expiration of their site plan approval, that you reopen seeker and require a supplemental environmental impact review. It is only after a proper environmental impact review that the site plan should be revisited. The seeker seems too onerous for this board, as exemplified in your earlier decision, to take the necessary step of not naming yourself lead agency. Regarding your site plan approval, having the existing seeker process as a basis for your approval can only mean that it's possibly also legally flawed. Again, now that the applicant has permitted the expiration of their site plan approval, we seek that the board take this opportunity to reopen seeker and initiate the complete supplemental environmental impact review this proposal requires. Thank you for your time.
Thank you, Mr. Owen. Mr. Harvey, sorry.
Mr. Harvey has been asked.
Thank you.
My name is Deanna.
You're going to have to really speak into that, because I'm going to hear from Billy Campbell over here. So.
My name is Deanna Bow from 42 Beale Spring Street, neighboring the Irish Cultural Center. And I've been profoundly impacted by the ICC excavation. I sustained physical damage to consumer property, endured dangerous conditions over summer, trespassing, loss of use and enjoyment of my property, loss of property value, and our cherished view of the Rhinebeck is now only seen through the metal construction fences which are encroaching on my property. When I purchased my home 12 years ago, the real estate listing for my house featured the stone patio, which has been in place for 20 years, and the close proximity sentence to the company built path. I watched the area steadily improve over the years as I was working on my home. The graffiti was cleaned up in the area, new sidewalks were installed on Beale Street, a promenade was added along the waterfront. But since the ICC received the grant to purchase 32 Beale Street, the area has suffered damages on top of damages. They cut down the trees to clear an unobstructed view for themselves. They put up billboards which vastly exceed the allowable size and design standards. The Beale sidewalk has been closed for over a year with a porta potty obstructing it, and the company path was compromised and left unsafe. But the most horrifying investment to date is the unskilled excavation work that took place right up to the property line and left my entire property line unsupported and unsafe with a steep drop. In the expired site plan, they didn't account for the grade difference between my driveway and their driveway, which is causing ongoing erosion issues along my entire property line, and it can't be surveyed now in this current condition. The plan does not take into consideration type of site topography and water runoff issues, and no efforts were made by the ICC to mitigate damages until violations were issued and the site plan lapsed. I urge this board to deny the site plan extension request, reopen SEAKER review, and schedule a site visit to assess the current site conditions and environmental impacts, as well as the grade differential along my property line, and revisit the recommendations from the Ulster County Planning Board and the Historic Landmarks Preservation Commission. Unlike the ICC, which is using public money to pay for this project, my neighbors and I have invested in the Rondeau with our own money, and we're relying on the planning board to review this project and protect from us from further damages. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. How are you?
I'm fantastic. How are you?
I'm great.
All right. I'll try to keep this brief, but I know some people took a few extra minutes, so.
You say that every month.
Let me say in the beginning, it boggles my mind why the top elected official in this city.
Hold on 1 second. I'm just going to recognize you as our Bruce McLean.
That's
right. Madison Avenue.
Of Roosevelt Park.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay.
It boggles my mind why the top elected official in this city, who claims to be an environmentalist, and his wife, an environmentalist educator, have not made a comment on this destructive environmental disaster. Their silence is deafening. The fact that this project was started without a building permit or excavation permit is also troubling. I can recall many sidewalk replacement with a sign showing a permit was issued. I have also spoken with former employees of the building department who say that a permit for excavation is required. It is truly troubling that the request, which was used for a questionable frontage issue, and that the Company Hill path, the historical adjoining path, to give zoning approval, has now been compromised at least twice and continues to erode underneath the surface. This is because of the hammering of the rock has created cracks in the rock underneath the surface and the fill that has been put there. And although the slip fences will hold back some of the water that lays on the top, the water is seeping through the dirt, if any is left, after it washes away after the last two storms, into the cracks and underneath the Company Hill path, which is eroding the mud, holding the path in place. Eventually, under the present condition, it will collapse. And I have the pictures to prove that, but I didn't bring it with me because they're on the computer. Had this board obtained from the DPW yet the costs associated with the multiple cleanup efforts so far that the city has incurred and been reimbursed? Now let's get back to there. The fact of the matter is, there is no parking. The Irish, the Polish White Eagle Hall has parking for 30 or 40 people. The St. Mary's Hall down on North Street has parking. This place has no parking, and there is no parking available. This weekend, with scheduled events at all area restaurants, the Maritime Museum, and other places, cars were seen and observed driving and looking for parking with no results and getting back up and driving up the hill. I would personally, if it was difficult for many businesses to come out against the project, but it truly must not make them happy seeing potential businesses just ride past for lack of parking. Can you imagine how it will be if 171 additional parking spots are needed for this competing business built with taxpayer funds and little investment of private resources? In addition to the real property tax stance given to the building, it will affect other property values, not only in the immediate area, but throughout the city. Now, I'm not going to divulge where they are, but it's going to happen. If the light is a little better, I can see. Thank you. The action taken by this board on the project tonight and in the future will determine a great bit. We have also seen what the structural effects that the project has had on adjoining properties already. In addition, one can only imagine with the debacle that will be created after Tuesday's weather-related storm activity. It is very seldom that the board gets a second chance to correct a bad decision, but because of perhaps divine intervention or Mother Nature, this is one of those times. Let's look at how closely developers have followed your initial instructions and stipulations. Then look at the serious consequences that have resulted from their actions and the potential financial cost and continual litigation and results that could occur, and also consider the potential ramifications based on the last 4 months that could or will occur. Consider the stop work orders and the violations that have already been issued. Based on that alone, it is time for you to call halt to this abomination and call for the execution of the execution of the performance bond to cover the destruction of this property and ongoing mitigating circumstances. You have no choice otherwise. You will jeopardize the city and their finances and a lot of other things for years to come. And that's about all I have to say, although I wrote a little more, but I'm going to call it quits.
Okay. No, I appreciate it. Always a pleasure. Thank you, Bruce. Hi there.
Hi.
State your name for the record, please.
Barbara Scott, 66 Bruce Street, Kingston. Is that, can you hear? Okay. I wanted to review with you a letter that was sent by the city engineer, Ralph Swenson, to the Irish Cultural Center with a notice of violations on the construction site to just give you a list of all the different violations they had. This went out to them August 13th. It says, please be advised that the ongoing work at the above site, meaning the Irish Cultural Center, is in violation of our MS4 local law number 4 of 2011 and your site plan approval dated April 16th, 2018. During a site visit conducted by this office, the engineer and that of the planning office on Thursday, August 9th, conditions found were no stabilized construction entrance, no silt fencing not fully embedded, untreated drainage mitigating off-site and causing erosion to Company Hill Path, perimeter fencing at adjacent property lines is not stable and does not provide full protection. Unstabilized slope along property lines, sidewalk trip hazards due to heavy vehicle displacement, sidewalk panels, driveway number 42 appeal is unprotected at the top of slope to excavation, and IT cable riser broken at pole. And he proceeds to go into what they require him to do. And some of these things I know they have tried to do but have still are having a negative impact on the Company Hill Path. So the fixes that they did try have not worked. Given all of this, my sense is that this is a project that needs full supervision by the city, that they have shown no good faith effort in doing this project to any legal requirements. I would say go back to the seeker and consider this project anew now, knowing now what we know. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Here's a copy of
thank you.
The letter for everyone.
Last Monday, September 10th, the city engineer, Ralph Swenson, told the county council at caucus that the city of Kingston is responsible for the MS4, which Barbara was just referring to. That means that they give annual reports to the DEC, and they are audited on an annual basis by the DEC. So they have responsibilities, the city of Kingston has responsibilities for the enforcement of the MS4. And Ralph Swenson said he's been advocating since 2010 that the building department add a couple boxes to check on their permitting process where they would have to install erosion and sediment control, and that the building department would inspect whether it was installed according to the plan, and that the project could proceed with construction of foundations where the soil would be disturbed. but the engineering department has not been notified that construction is happening, the soil is being disturbed, and they just haven't upon the project, so Ralph Swenson said that in the case of the ICC, they happened upon the project, and Alan wrote up a list outlining the issues and sent them along to the building department, expecting them to issue a violation or at least to get some corrective action. All this is reported obviously because you know me. So I think this points to the fact that the decisions made by the planning board did not include input from the city engineer. It did not include considerations of the city's responsibility for the MS4 and its liability in cases where a construction site is not able to contain stormwater runoff on site. For example, the ICC applied hydro seeding on Friday, September 7th, and then the rain washed away. The nearby Rundown Creek is under the jurisdiction of the DC. Being an MS4 requires more scrutiny for a project, and the time for the engineer's review should have been done during the environmental review. All of those violations should have been part of the seeker review process. And the review should have included the impact of excavation and construction, and it's clear that it didn't. So we have documented all of this on ProDRT Facebook page. We have videos, we have photos, the whole neighborhood has been documenting it and collecting it, and we have a record of it that you can go and see. It's grown on TV responsibly on Facebook. I've owned homes on the Rundown since 2009, and Company Hill Path has never been this bad after a rainstorm. I don't know if it's worth asking, has DPW needed to be called to rebuild the path after every rainstorm like it has been since the ICC did their excavation? The last rainstorm, DPW was there twice. And who's paying for that, right? It's clear now that this excavation and construction has had an adverse environmental impact on the Rundown. This board should reopen the CEQA review and require a supplemental environmental impact review. And this board should get the city engineer involved in the reviewing process. I also don't understand how it could be any part of a process where you only review part of an application and not the whole thing. I think it's worth asking what has happened in the past in this situation where a site plan has expired and you have to redo the application, because if you're going to do part of the application and not all of it, it's just worth asking the question. I have copies for you.
Thank you.
Sorry. Go ahead. State your name for the record. I'm sorry.
Susan Cooper, I live at 24 Hill Street in Rundown. Since moving to Rundown in 2004, where I live about two blocks away from the Irish Cultural Center site, I've been taking walks pretty much every single day on Company Hill Path along Hill Street down to the waterfront. I moved to the area because I like the history and I like the waterfront, and now I am that with what's going on with the Cleveland Path and the whole area around the ICC, that my walks there are no longer calm and enjoyable as they have been for all these years. The place is an eyesore. It's filled with mosquitoes. It's all of the things that everybody else has been noting here. And I'd like to also point out that the runoff is not just ruining Company Hill Path. It's also actually creating fissures down in the parking lot. And if this isn't rectified soon, I don't know what it's going to look like after the winter, but honestly, it could go all the way down to the water. I also would just like to know that I have friends and family throughout Ulster County who read the Freeman and keep asking me for months what is going on up there, why is that pit there, how could that have happened, and I keep telling them what I know about it, and none of it makes any sense. The only thing that I do know for sure that is that a lack of input from the city engineer is part of what has led us to this situation. Everything that the ICC has done so far to try to address the problem has been unprofessional at best. And at this point, I think that site plan extension request, conduct a supplemental environmental impact review, reopen the SECR review. I respectfully ask that the planning board undertake this immediately until before the winter weather gets underway, because we desperately need the situation to be handled professionally, and so far it is not. Thank you.
Joe, before you start, I should have made preface tonight's meeting by saying that we are going to be treating the ICC 32 Beale Street as a new application, okay? Just to clarify that. And we're not going to do any, have you take any action tonight on it, so.
No. Okay, thank you very much for that. Like,
Joe DeFalco?
Joe DeFalco, I live at 66 Lent Street in Kingston. But I wanted to touch base on some of the things that were mentioned here this evening. And due to my institutional knowledge of construction for 40 years, okay, you don't excavate a project and not prepare to put something into it and go in the other direction and build. Another thing, I believe the Irish Cultural Center doesn't have the funding to do this project before I where they are, and it tells me how they were allowed to make the mess that they made there without having the funds to move forward. They're begging in the street running raffles to get money to build this thing. I think the money in opening dried out, whatever they thought they were going to get. I don't think they're going to get it. But that being said, I want to talk about a couple of things that were mentioned here by Mr. McKay, Bruce, about sediment and fractures in the bedrock from the pounding of the hammer, the break. It's only going to get worse. going to be worse. And if those internal fractures are deep, who knows how deep the frost line will, what will happen there. And the other project that is going on Cedar Street is another unstable ground. You would not be able to build a school on ground that's unstable. I admit the foundation that they're putting in is meant to compensate for the unstable ground. Okay? They expect it probably to sink. I expect it to settle and sink. The bridge over Broadway settled and sunk and cracked. If there's a better way to put that foundation in, there is, then what they're doing over there isn't failing. It's not good workmanship, because there's a better way to construct that, to make it stable, okay? And what they did to Company Gopair is a total disgrace, you know? And then to allow it to move forward without guaranteeing the funds, you only make money in construction when you put something in. You don't make money taking something out. Okay? I think it was all a ploy to do this excavation, to turn around to the funding that they may get, wherever it might come from, to say, hey, we've already started construction. You haven't started construction, you didn't put nothing in. All you did was rip the ground apart, destroy your neighbor's property, and affected the environment. Now, I was down there Friday, and I saw the settlement. It did reach the creek. I saw the soil. On the other side, on the walkway, okay? Look down there and look at it. The secondary wall that's holding up the Company Hill path is eroding. You can tell. I've been keeping track of this, okay? I've been watching rocks that roll out. Okay? You can tell which ones are fresh because there's nothing growing around. You know, they go down to Google, but you can see these boulders that came out of the rock over by the curb. So they must have rolled down out of the secondary wall that holds up the path and made it to the curb. Some of them came out a lot earlier and they have grass growing around them. I can't say that that happened then, but you can say that the ones that are bare with nothing growing around them happened now. And you can see that the secondary wall is eroded, is collapsing. Also due to the erosion. So that's all I have to say. I've been in construction for 40 years. I've built high rises in Manhattan. I've worked with the best contractors in the world. And I can tell you, Cedar Street is inferior workmanship because there is a better way. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. DeVario. Okay. Thank you, folks. We're going to close the open public speaking portion. Moving on to item number three is adoption of the July 16, 2018, and the August 20th, 2018 planning board minutes. Of course, the August 28th planning board minutes will include tonight's resolution that we adopted. Concerning the Rumco project, the Alms House project. Does anybody have any questions or concerns on the additions, deletions? Seems good. Okay, at this time I'll make a motion to adopt the both of those minutes. Do I have a second? Second by Bridget Smith Brune. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Carried. Moving on to public hearings, item number four is 194 and 198 of Beale Street, lot line deletion of the lands of Beale LLC. Section block of lot is 56.50-6-13 and 14. Secret determination zone RF-R, Ward 8, Beale LLC is the applicant owner. Anybody besides the applicant or owner wishes to speak on item number four? Okay.
This is out.
This is the applicant. Who the applicant's here?
Yep.
Oh, come on over, sir. Come right over here by this microphone here. How you doing tonight?
Good.
How are you? Good. These mics are bad, so you can state your name for the record, please.
My name's Mike Burnholz.
Is that thing on, Bridget?
Hello?
Give him that. Sorry, sir.
Good evening. My name is Mike Burnholz.
Okay. This is a lot line deletion between two parcels. This is by P&T Surplus, is that where they're at?
Yeah, it's the P&T Surplus property.
Okay.
That adjoins the Hideaway Marina. And we recently, I also own the Hideaway Marina, and we recently purchased this building.
Okay.
And when we purchased the building, the tax rolls shows as two tax parcels. The lot line of the tax parcels run right through the center of the building, and each of the lots are non-conforming lots independently. So I thought it would be the proper thing to do for the assessor to help for the assessment of the property and have one more property that's not would be off the roll, or would be combined into one property, that we would go for a lot line adjustment and make these two lots into one lot.
That does conform with all of our zoning issues.
Yeah, you're just removing a lot line.
Just makes it a more conforming.
Got it.
More conforming.
Anybody have any questions? Besides? Okay. Board policy 6 will need to be signed by the owners. Under secret, this is an unlisted action. So a determination of environmental significance will need to be rendered. I have before me a short environmental assessment form that is in order. This is why I'm making a motion that we approve it. Do I have a second?
Second. Okay.
Second by Matt Gillis. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. One more thing. All right.
We need a new survey.
All right, so we're going to need a new survey, okay, for everything, right? We're going to need that right now.
No, I know. The question I have for you is that when we purchase the property, we have a survey of the property with the meets and bounds description of what's currently existing there, which matches the deed description in which we purchased the property from. And this is a certified survey showing that parcel and also the adjoining parcel, which at one time was owned by the city that we purchased from the city. So I'm just wondering the relevancy of going through and having another survey done when we already have a survey that's completed by a licensed surveyor that also matches the description of the deed in which we purchased the property.
Mike, this is part of our discussion that we had earlier this month. And you do need a new survey. It can be this survey, just needs to be recertified, and then it will have to be signed off by a surveyor again so that the county can accept it for filing to change the tax maps.
Okay, so just a question of clarity is if the county would accept this map, it's a certified survey map, would we need another survey if we could record this map?
If the county will, but you're going to have the blocks, new blocks, and an updated date
that,
on it.
That's what we want to see on the map.
Yes.
Okay, and when you say certified, do you mean certified to me or certified to the city?
It would be certified for both parties, because there'll be a block on there that will ask you to put your signature to it. It will ask one for the city's signature.
I understand now. Right, perfect. Thank you. Okay.
And then we'll need the copies of the Mylar.
Yeah, I'll get you a copy.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, any questions? All right. Okay, so at this time, I'll make a motion that we approve item number 4 with board policy 6 and the new certified survey of the site as part of the condition. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
Second by Mary Jo. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, everybody, for your time. Sir.
You want to grab that microphone and then put it in that room? Yeah, no. Oh, that's true.
All right, item number 5 is a special permit renewal. 82 Jones Street, special permit renewal to operate bar and bookstore in an existing building. Section block and lot is 48.330-3-15. Secret determination zone C2, Stockade Historic District, it's a Heritage Area Commission. Rough Draft Bar and Books Incorporated is the applicant. Navlia Air Lot LLC is the owner. Anybody besides the owner or applicant wishing to speak on item number 5?
Sorry, Matt. Put it back.
We took it away.
Tanya Garment, 102 Word Street. I'm sure it's not necessary, but I just wanted to say that I don't know if you're aware of how awesome Rough Draft is as a member of the community. They host so many events and are so welcoming, and it's really been so great to have them here this past year. So, yes.
Thank you. Okay, will the applicants please step forward? Let me just tell you, it takes a lot to get her to give you more comments. You must be doing something right there. Can you state your names for the record, please?
Amanda Stromowski.
Anthony Stromowski.
And I, too, hear a lot of good things that are happening there. When I go by there, you seem to have a good crowd in there, good following.
Jesus.
Anything, everything's good with what you expected so far? Or?
Yeah, better than expected.
Okay.
The only changes have been we started opening a little earlier in the day to do more coffee business in the morning.
Okay.
And we're soon going to be opening up on Mondays.
Okay. Good. Any issues with staff? We're good, right?
Nope.
Any questions from either side, the west or the east? All right. The original special permit was granted in when? So?
This was 1 year.
Oh, it's 1 year. Okay.
Right. So we're recommending.
We're bound by a year on this?
No.
We can extend.
We're asking. Okay. We're saying extend it to 3 years.
Okay. Good. Everybody good with a 3 year on that? Okay. And if ownership changes, you know, building ownership or occupancy, then the approval will evaporate and have to come back again. So, all right. We don't anticipate that happening right now. All right. Under seeker, it's a type 2 action, so no further review of the board, this board is required. At this time, I will make a motion that we approve item number 5 for a period of 3 years.
with all original conditions carried forward. Do I have a second on that? Second by Matt Gillis. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you, folks.
Thank you.
Take care. Okay, item number six, 356 Broadway, special permit renewal to operate a rooming house. Section block and lot is 56.43-8-61.1. Secret determination, zone C2 to the mixed-use overlay district heritage area. Ward 9, TBG Group LLC is the applicant owner. Is there anybody besides the applicant or owner wishing to speak on item number six? Welcome.
Thank you.
Can you state your name for the record, please?
Trevon Gilliard.
All right. This is the old, just the old. This is the, where is this that we're talking about here?
The taxi.
Okay, that's right.
It's in that lower block,
yes,
right here?
Yes. So this is for the upstairs portion of the block. All right. Everything's still the same? Oh, okay.
The only thing I thought that last year when we met that we were going to do an extension for the renewal. So I didn't have to do it every year, but I got the paperwork, so I wasn't sure of that.
Okay, well,
can we?
Yeah, because it's a rooming and boarding house, it's no, required to do
yeah,
it 1 year.
We're still bound by a year on that.
Okay.
Sorry. I thought it would be inspection had to be each year, but then.
No issues filed with building safety. We haven't had anything from KPD yet, so. Yeah, there's no issues there.
We do have KPD, and also I think you have an inspection tomorrow,
yes,
with Jill from the, or
no, it's tomorrow.
It's soon.
Yeah.
I think it's so we haven't had that yet. So if you want to make that condition.
A condition.
And then there were a couple police reports, but mostly just suspicious condition and that kind of thing.
Type 2. All right. This is a type 2 under seeker, so no further review of the board is required. So,
we're going to go for a year on this, right? Because I see
it's maximum 1 year.
I see a conflicting verbiage here.
All right, so at this time, I make a motion that we approve item number 6 for a period of 1 year with all original conditions carried forward, and also conditioned on tomorrow's inspection with building safety. Okay. Do I have a second on that?
Second.
Second by Jamie Mills. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you.
Have a good evening.
You too.
See you next year.
Still call for a public hearing on this next meeting. Yes, we advertised it as such.
I'm going to make the announcement.
Yep.
All right, next item is... Number seven, item number seven is 76-88 Spring Street, special permit renewal for 12 apartments, section block and lot is 56.42-10-8. Secret determination, zone RT, it's in the Rhondda Historic District, also Heritage Area, Ward 8. Lloyd Levy is the applicant owner. If there is anybody who wants to speak on this, you can come up to the mic, but I just wanted to let folks know that I'm going to recommend tabling this pending resolution of city court proceedings. Okay, does anybody want to talk about this at all right now? I see a chomping over here.
All right, you got to give her the mic back again there.
Sorry.
Bring that right up there.
I just wanted to point out that that as you are aware, because you know there's city court proceedings, the applicant has shown disdain for the process. They went into the Heritage Area Commission and didn't mention any of this. He came in, claimed that he had done many historic buildings before, so apparently he is familiar with historic buildings. Took out all of the doors in Tubby Row and most of the windows.
Tanya, can I just ask you to hold the mic up?
Thanks.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Took out all the doors and all the one set of windows in the front, the historic, very important details of the building, and had a building permit that did not include doing doors and windows at all, and used that time to kind of get away with switching them over. Threw them right in the dumpster so we wouldn't be forced to put it back up, and really it claimed in the beginning to be familiar with this sort of process, so I can't imagine how anybody could think that.
Anyway, I just wanted to point that out.
He has shown disdain for the
right.
Process
and
the remarks. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else on the Spring Street? Hi.
Hello, Christiana. I'll just stay very quickly on the 100th Street, and every time I drive past that beautiful yellow building, I am nothing but grateful that someone is trying to fix it up and make it more habitable and pleasant and make it last longer.
Did you catch her name?
Holly Christiana, but did you give me her address?
Yeah.
Okay, we're going to close the public hearing on Spring Street. As I mentioned, I'm going to make a motion that we table this item due to pending legal action being taken by the city on this property. Do I have a second on that? Second by Chuck Malacco. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried. Okay, moving on to item number eight is 115 Abeel Street, special permit renewal for a mixed-use building in the RT zone. Section block and lot is 56.43-2-29.120. Secret determination, zone RT, Rhondda Historic District, it's in the Heritage Area Commission. Ward 9, Stephen Odanowitz is the applicant owner. Is there anybody besides the applicant or owner wishing to speak on item number eight?
Hi.
So
this is
a tiny garment once again.
A tiny garment on Timber Street, another building in my neighborhood that I pass by all the time and think about. And, similar to the Tubby Row building, also in the historic district, it does have historic Landmark Preservation Commission guidelines that it's supposed to follow. It's supposed to go before the Historic Landmark Preservation the applicant did not go before the Historical Landmark Preservation Commission before starting this. So right from the beginning of this renovation of the front, and I respectfully disagree with Mr. Platt's opinion that it looks beautiful. But I think it's beside, last time you said, you've made an improvement. It kind of goes with the Tubby Road. There are improvements, but just because it's better doesn't mean that it's right, doesn't mean that it's the standards that we have set, that they should just be louder just because things are being improved. We have standards for a reason, so that when things are improved, that they're done within certain guidelines, because the Common Council decided that those were appropriate guidelines. And so the applicant was told to fix it up after that. After it, he had his contractor just neaten it up. That's what he told the contractor to do. Contractor was not aware of any of the guidelines and put a supporting beam right in the middle so that it couldn't be returned to the historic configuration that it was. And I think that you guys, I don't think it's necessary to go into all the reasons of why we have Historic Landmarks Preservation Commission, but they are the only standards that we have that really protect the public realm the way that they do. They really shape the spaces and get led to the experience of the pedestrian on the street and our place in time as being just one of many. It's not supposed to be keeping things under glass, and it's not supposed to stop changes of use or buildings evolving with the needs of the community. But they are standards that we as a city, decided were appropriate. And I apologize, I just wanted to make that as really a general comment. But also, I have not researched where they are in this stage right now.
Well, we're gonna get
okay. I wanted
an
to
update
point out
on that.
Okay,
right,
thanks.
After you're done.
And I only say that comment because I know that, you know, I hope you don't take offense to it, because I know that you're a reasonable person. I think. Anyway, so they started work on it the last few days. Why? Were they allowed to? Or are they allowed
well,
to?
We'll enlighten you on all that, too.
Yeah. Thank you.
I got another expert coming up here in a second. So.
Thanks.
All right. Thank you.
Very much.
Anybody else before I drag Tom Tiano to the mic? Okay. Deputy Chief Tom Tiano is intimately involved with this project down there. And if you can give us an update on where we are with that, on what direction you think the board should go with this meeting, appreciate it. Tom Tiano with the mic.
Good evening, Tom Tiano, Deputy Chief in charge of Building Safety. As you know, work was done on the front of the building without building permit. It was also done without approval from Historics. Last year, Historics met with the owner and issued their ruling on how the front of the building should be redesigned. A building permit was issued at that time. However, work had not started until approximately 2 months ago. Since then, he's also applied and received a building permit to do work inside the first floor commercial space. I've conducted several inspections there already, and as late as this afternoon, have been at the building. Work is proceeding with the front in accordance to the historic preservation guidelines that were presented to him. There's still an open building permit, though, that you find that has not been done for the interior or the exterior, which I'm hoping is going to happen within the next week or two. My recommendation right now would be to table this matter until the building permit is closed out and we have everything determined, you know, made back to the determination of the landmarks and the building departments as such.
I know this has been the topic of conversation with you and I at times privately, and what you've had to go through with the building owner there is to be commended. What you've had to put up with, but are we near the end? You think on this?
I sincerely hope so. Mr. Matanovich has done wonders with this building. This building, if you can remember, several years ago, I don't know what was holding it up. Between the hole in the roof and the deteriorating conditions, we all assumed it was going to fall down on its own. Miraculously, he saved the building. It is occupied on the second floor with two apartments, beautiful apartments. He did a fantastic job there. He is in a habit of working without permits. Hopefully we can cure him of that. And he does seem to put an effort forward when it's time to appear before the group for issuing a permit renewal, which is why I'm really not asking the board right now to close this out and issue this special permit until he fills and fulfills these building permits that are out there, and we do get a final inspection on this place. I understand he does have a pending tenant for the commercial space downstairs. Like I said, both of the apartments upstairs are occupied. All in all, it is an asset to the community there. The building turned out beautifully. And from what I can see in the front, I'm sure that the Landmarks group is going to be happy because he did return it to what they required him to.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you, Tom.
All right, so as recommended by Deputy Chief Deano, I'm going to make a motion that we... does anybody else want to talk about it or anything? We got anything to discuss with the board? I will make a motion that we table item number 8 for a period of 1 month. Hopefully we'll have some resolution at next month's meeting on this. I know we've been experiencing some frustration on that. So that's a motion. Do I have a second? Second by Chuck Palacco. All in favor?
Aye.
Opposed? Carried. Okay, moving on to item number 9. We are in new business now.
It's Cedar Street, so I need you to...
Item number 9 is 20 Cedar Street, site plan / special permit amendment to the approved plan. Section block and lot is 56.109-4-2.100. Secret determination zone 02, mixed use overlay district, Ward 4. RUPCO is the applicant owner. And let the record show that Matt Gillis is recusing himself from deliberations because of DLAC has had with the applicant over the years.
I'm going to, Bridget, can you grab that mic again? Grab that mic again for, please.
Good night. Thank you.
Let the record show that Scott Dutton is here.
Good evening.
How are you?
Get it all mixed up.
Okay, sure.
All right. Hey, Chuck Snyder's here as well.
3 minutes.
All right. Can you hear me? Sure.
Okay. Thank you for having us here tonight. I have circulated two documents. The first one that went around was the original approved site plan several years ago. The second packet, which includes highlights here, depict two minor site plan amendments that we'd like to put before the board for consideration. And the history behind this request is this. You're the chair.
What?
You're the chair. After site plan approval, as we were preparing the detailed construction documents to go out to bid, those documents were reviewed by the architects in Albany several times over the course of about a year, and they made a suggestion that we think was a very good suggestion, and that is that the parking underneath the elevated park have an outlet onto Iwo Jima. And in hindsight, I'd like to think that we would have come up with that suggestion as well, but we didn't. We think it's a good idea. The other minor amendment is that you may recall that when we were initially before the board, there was discussion about having the potential for a reciprocal cross easement with the Dunkin' Donuts property. It's not something that we were looking to implement necessarily, but just making sure that the site plan was configured in such a way that at a future date and time, whether it was 20 years down the road or 50 years or 150 years down the road, that if it was appropriate, that we could make that connection. So in this amendment request that you have before you, we're suggesting that we fill in that little bit of potential future easement with a landscape buffer right now, something that, again, in another application, decades down the road, whenever it could be removed, and create an opportunity to exit out onto Iwo Jima that we think will improve overall traffic flow in and around the property. I will say that overall, the project's going along great, better than expected. Construction's moving right along, and anyone that drives by the site can see evidence of that.
How much traffic do you think that would really create for Iwo Jima, since it's so small?
I think very little traffic. It was a good suggestion by the architects at the state that you may recall when we first proposed the project back in 2015, I think it was, we had a detail that had a wall on Iwo Jima. As the project evolved over time, we came back to the planning board, revised that, and introduced landscaping, pulled back the park a little bit that was over top of the parking, allowing more natural light to get into that space. It's just a little detail that, you know, at one point it was sealed off entirely. We opened it up a little bit. Now there's an opportunity to allow folks that are parking in the handicapped parking spaces to back out directly onto Iwo Jima and not have to back through internally the parking spaces and then exit out onto the green. I don't anticipate that it will get used very much, because to get to that exit, you know, just psychologically, you're going under the parking structure and then
it's exit only, right? On Iwo Jima, exit only, and the Cedar Street is enter only.
Correct.
Okay, and so, yeah, and Green Kill is two-way.
Correct.
Okay.
Along the Stetanowitz's property line here, is there any consideration to any pedestrian access through there at all, or do you want to just seal that off? Because I mean,
it would be easy.
There's some businesses over there that maybe want to be patronized by the folks here. Or would they be required to go all the way around?
I think, you know, we haven't engaged in any dialogue with the owner of that property. It was a suggestion that I think was born out of fire.
Okay.
Department.
And there's really no, you know, once you get through this property line here, there's nothing to delineate, you know, this is a walking area, you're just
correct.
Going into a parking lot, right?
Correct.
All right. Okay.
For those of us that live and work in Midtown, I personally am seeing more and more pedestrian traffic on the sidewalks. It's nice to see.
Okay.
I fully expect that over the next couple of years, as businesses are popping up in places where we didn't expect to see them years ago, that there'll be more of that, creating more and more life and vibrancy in the community.
I see on the bottom here, so we have should we have further discussion on the change of circulation and reopening Seeker? I mean, my feeling is it's in the middle of the block.
Well, these notes were done prior to some of the changes that I spoke with Scott and Chris about. Okay. So
we're good then? I mean, so, yeah. Does anybody have any concerns about it? Questions?
From our standpoint, it's another example of the process improving the project. And we'd like to see this change made. We think it'll make the project better.
There's nothing under Seeker we gotta do now, right? We gotta do anything.
Type 2. Unlisted.
If it has no adverse effects. Unlisted, so we got to do a short. Can we send it somewhere?
Yeah.
To Chuck's point, that in the future, if there's a need for it, it's easy enough for us to come back for another minor amendment. Who knows if the Dunkin' Donuts will be there 2 years, 3 years, 5 years from now. If there's, at this point, that potential future reciprocal cross easement takes you into their parking spaces. So it's not really an ideal configuration, but if another business goes in where the Dunkin' Donuts is, there's an opportunity for them to reconfigure their site, and if there are synergies. We haven't put parking spaces there that would prevent that kind of thing from happening in the future.
Thank you. Okay, so under Seeker, this is an unlisted action. So the determination of environmental significance will need to be rendered. I have before me a short environmental assessment form that is in order. Make a motion that we approve it. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Mary Jo. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
All right. And this time I'll make a motion that we approve item number 9 with the changes illustrated.
We're going to need a new cover sheet to be signed with board policy 6 to be amended or not?
No, all original conditions. Okay.
And that will entail all original conditions remaining in place. That is a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
Second by Jamie Mills. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed? Carried.
Thank you.
Want these back? Thank you,
Scott. You're welcome to keep them. If you're going to
keep them.
Shred them, we'll do that for you.
That's why I didn't write it in.
It looks like is this the last topic?
Still the last topic.
Yep.
He's going to refuse himself. So.
Yep.
Thank you, Kevin.
Yes. Okay. Item number 10. 32 Beale Street. Site plan to construct a 16,213 square foot community center. Section block and lattice 56.43-5-35.100. Seeker determination zone RT, Roundup Historic District, Heritage Area Commission.
Did Kevin say, wait,
Kevin.
Irish Cultural Center, Hudson Valley Incorporated is the applicant.
Need you to sign that last one that went around.
Bridget did.
No, this is for the last one.
This is on.
Oh, okay.
Let the record show that Kevin Roach is going to be recusing himself from any deliberations on this because of his dealings with ICC Hudson Valley. Welcome.
Right.
State your names for the record, please.
I'm Bill Pye.
Mark Tiana.
Robert Carey.
Try it again. Robert Carey.
Okay. So I just want to preface by saying that the position of the city at this time is that we're going to treat this site plan approval as expired, okay? So as a result, we are treating this, the site plan for 32 O'Beale Street as a new application. And so the planning board does acknowledge that there have been circumstances that have arisen since the project was approved. Specifically the issues with the excavation of the site. And I know that the organization has been meeting regularly with some city officials, including the engineers department, building safety division, and you're working to remedy the problems that have arisen there. So I want to thank you for doing that, getting together with the city on that. So I know that I've been told that the applicant submitted documentation requesting an extension on the original site plan. We're not going to hear argument on that tonight, okay, pertaining to this request. However, we ask that the applicant submit in writing reasons as to why they believe the request for the extension should be considered. And when that written request has been obtained, it will be reviewed by the city, and a decision will be rendered by the next regular meeting. Okay, it'll pass through our corporation council filters and whatnot. So we're not going to have any deliberations on it tonight, but I ask the board to entertain, as this moves forward, to reopen a public hearing on this. I know we've had a lot of discussion tonight at the open public speaking, so I think it would behoove us to reopen the public hearing to allow the public to weigh in on as this.
Yes.
Yes, and also the council for the opponents of the project will be given an opportunity to weigh in, and they'll be given copies it'll be exchanged with both sides as to documents that are provided. So, and they'll have an opportunity to Mr. Lansky to weigh in as well. So, do we want to talk about? Oh, let's talk about the public hearing. Is good with reopening a public hearing on this? Do you feel comfortable doing that? We're good. Okay.
Do we want to hear anything tonight about any activity that's been going on with site remediation?
Recognize that they've been submitting updated drawings, yeah, and plans through our engineering department. Also that they have done certain work.
Yeah. So, I mean, you've received this letter from Ralph Swenson, right? And I mean, driving by there, I've seen you actively involved with both sides there. So,
yeah.
Do you want to speak to what's been done so far to
Yeah. To remediate?
Yes, so as you said, we have been actively working, coordinating with the city engineers on what to do with the site, obviously since it has been opened up, but there is exposed soil and earth out there now.
Bring that a little closer.
So basically what has been done, there's been silt fence that was originally shown on the planning board approved plans. That was for a working final condition or construction condition since the site has been opened up now. We are working with the city to revise those plans. We're working almost weekly now because of some of the unfortunate storm events. The mitigation measures have to be reset and relooked at to actually redesign and look at how the runoff patterns are actually projecting onto the property. So we are working on that. We've submitted a new plan. The ICC's contractors are working to implement them this time, so it's going to be an ongoing measure is going to be taking place until the grass and the erosion control measures can be set in place.
The only other thing I would mention is that I know you've been advised that with every storm event that occurs, you must go down and inspect and make sure that everything is
Correct. Maintained
and kept up to.
Yes, that's part of the latest plan that was submitted. There is a maintenance plan that's been set in place of what needs to be looked at, what needs to be inspected and evaluated, either on a biweekly basis or after every storm event.
Does anybody have any questions regarding the remediation that's going on? As I said, I see we all are in agreement on reopening a public hearing on it. So, I know there's differences of opinion as to, you know, where we are with as I said, the site plan renewal versus extension or new site plan. So, we're just going to await response from Mr. Gordy regarding this and. At this time, I'm going to recommend that I should make a motion that we table this item until we have received those document.
Well, you want to keep it on the agenda for 1 month? I would just table it for 1 month and then also reopen the public hearing schedule after next month.
Okay, so we're going to table for 1 month, and at the next meeting, we will reopen the public hearing comments. Okay, that's a motion. Do I have a second? Second by Matt Gillis. All in favor? Aye. Opposed? Carried. Thank you, gentlemen. All right. We'll see you in a month. All right.
Okay, don't leave. You got to sign.
I'll sign.
All right. Any other business before this body tonight? The West is good. Anything from the East?
We have the site visit coming up.
Yes.
For the business park.
What's the date on that? I gotta have it.
What was that? 24th. I knew it was another Monday.
That is a 4 o'clock, right?
4 o'clock.
Okay. I know I have to be another meeting at 5, so I don't know how long I'll stay. Maybe I'll stay.
Okay. All right. Well, you were on the board when we did the original.
Motion to adjourn.
I think so.
By Matt Gillis, second.
Yes,
by
Chuck
Palacco.
Okay.
Okay. All in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Opposed?
And then there's the other workshops that I've been sending around. Just remember, you have to get your hours in.
I might
get all of the workshops you've been sending are days of traveling.
I know, and this next one.
There are some online ones that we can get.
I may have to just do that.